welcome to Total Rally. Boy, it's been a bit of a drama getting here, to be perfectly honest with you. We are based in our Manchester studio, which is Fab Radio International. We're lovely people who look after us here. And unfortunately, Christmas shopping, it's gridlock. So I have to dump the car about a mile and a half away and sprint for it. So I have literally just walked into the studio. So thank you for bearing with us. It's going to be a fun-packed show as ever. It's a Christmas show. There's been loads of interaction on Twitter, which has been amazing. Thank you, guys. If you've been following us on Twitter, you know who's on tonight. We've got Alex Karani, who's an American co-driver, who's been sat with Alex Papotas doing the European Rally Championship this year. But he's also done so much more, and we're gonna kind of delve into that a little bit. And to continue, I suppose, with the American theme, we're also going to have six times American Rally Champion David Higgins going to be joining us a little bit later on as well. But it's going to be a show for you guys. Sounds a bit cliche, but I even let David Kelly set the question, which was a cracking question, by the way. We're going to come to that in a little bit of a while. It stemmed from, apparently, because of the rumours with regard to, obviously, the changes to Rally France, what's going to happen. Possibly it could be going back to Corsica. If that's the case, then brilliant, because I love Corsica. I've been there, love that rally. But it prompted the question, which rally would you like to see come back? And there's the obvious ones. The Safari, I think, is probably by far the most popular one. And even Colin McMaster, bless him, who's been a guest of our show, of course, waded in with that one because the iconic imagery that he managed to capture when he's been covering that event. A couple of guys who held the Olympus rally over in America, obviously keeping, I suppose, with the American theme tonight. But there's lots to go at, I think, tonight. I think probably the best way of putting it. We're Clarkie-less again this evening. Clarkie's continuing his little rally holiday at the moment, so I am flying solo, but not completely solo. What we decided to do, we decided to mix it up just a tiny, tiny bit, and we've had guest hosts and everything else. And there's a man who's listened to our show pretty much, I think, from show number one, and he always tweets away and he always sends us stuff. And I thought, yeah, why not get Gary Boyd, who you will know is Kiwi WRC fan, and get him to join the show. So by the powers that are invested in me on Skype, we're going to go on to Gary now. Gary, welcome to Total Rally.
Good morning, how are you, Tony?
I'm a lot better now. I'm sat at this desk and I'm talking to you, because I'll be honest with you, at one point I genuinely thought I was going to be doing this very much remotely from my car. So it's been an interesting journey. An hour and 40 minutes from Liverpool to Manchester isn't an ideal one. Before anybody says in it, yes, I am a slow driver, but it is purely down to the traffic. But I'm guessing it's morning for you. It's quite relaxed over there. You've just had your pancakes, I'm guessing.
Yeah, breakfast time here, just having a morning coffee out of my Hayden Pattern New Zealand World Rally Team coffee mug.
Before we go any further, are you on some kind of retainer from Hayden? Is this all towards the budget, or...?
No, not at all. I'm purely a fan of rally, fan of Hayden, and just love our sport.
Fantastic. Listen, as I said, you are technically kind of the guest host tonight, so I not only do I want to get your views of, obviously, the season that we've just had. Obviously, Hayden has just been mentioned. We're talking about that right now. Obviously, Hayden's programme is now being confirmed. I think, is it a 9 or 10 event now for High and I?
Yeah, a minimum of 9 events. Could even go as high as 12, depending on how the season unfolds.
So, how... I don't know if Clarkie was here. I'm sure he'd tell us this one, but how much of a toss-up was it between High and Dying Section? Do you know anything about that?
I know nothing of the behind the scenes there, but what I will confess is Hayden did tell us 2 months ago he had would do a minimum of 9 events. He did tell us about 2 months ago Monte Carlo was not on the agenda. And why Monte Carlo wasn't an option for Hayden really had us scratching our heads. As soon as the Sebastian Loeb doing Monte Carlo was announced, the mind started racing. And we started saying, well, if Sebastian Loeb does Monte Carlo come back, and Sebastian Loeb is a tarmac specialist, and there's another 3 tarmac rounds later in the season, that leaves 9 gravel events. Could there be a connection between Citroën and Hayden? And then Hayden came out and said he's got 2 offers. And we knew that the offers were Hyundai and Citroën. And I must confess, I really thought for a week or two, Hayden may well be going to Citroën. It was a serious offer. It's only when Hayden finally announced that he was definitely going to Hyundai that we knew with certainty. So for the Kiwi fans, it's been an interesting week or two, wondering really what would happen. But we're excited Hayden has always said he'd like to establish a long-term relationship with a team, similar to the late Possum Bourne, who for many years was connected with the Subaru World Rally team. So I'm personally delighted that Hayden is with Hyundai again, the team that gave him his big break earlier this year.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's great to have another fresh face as well coming in, which brings me kind of quite neatly round. So you mentioned Citroën just there, but obviously the word is out. Obviously, Mr. Loeb is coming back, and he is doing Rally Monte Carlo, which has prompted a couple of strange things from the main man at VW. I don't know if you've read too much into this one at all.
Interesting. I have to wonder: is the Loeb comeback really more to do with creating extra media interest and profile in the DS3 launch? And of course, we don't know with certainty yet, but we think that Citroën this year will not be competing in the World Rally Champs. It will be a DS3 team that is competing in the World Rally Champs.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, I know they're having this kind of DS3 spirit kind of rebrand, and I've seen that starting to appear more and more now. But, you know, I suppose the people at Abu Dhabi want to get probably more for the dollar. And obviously, bringing in a 9-time World Rally Champion, you're not going to get much more profile than that. So I suppose you could maybe say, well, you know, maybe that's what they're getting from. But I thought it was an interesting comment with regards to that came out of VW with regards to the possible devaluing of the championship. Because, you know, somebody like Loeb, because of road position, could come in and do 4 or 5 rallies, and because of road position, could win those rallies. What's your take on that?
I don't really have a take on that, Tony. Look, I think the drivers will do the talking out on the stages when 2015 season gets underway. 2 years away from the sport for Sebastian, to come back and be truly competitive at the top end, regardless of road position. We know he's an incredible driver, perhaps the best driver we've ever seen in the sport. But in my heart, I don't think we're going to see Loeb 100% competitive doing 1, 2, maybe 3 guest drives during the year. So I think VW really need to just concentrate on doing what they do so well themselves, get out there, win the rallies using their own skills and ability.
And there endeth the speech, according to Gary, as he takes a swig from his coffee cup. Because I have actually got you, we've got video of you as well, which was quite disconcerting the other week when we had Clarkey over in Argentina, and he genuinely was wearing underpants. But I just want to go on to trust me,
it was
a frightening image. It was a frightening image. But I just want to go on with regards to your take. Obviously, David Kelly, bless him, set the question, which kind of set the tongues wagging somewhat. What event would you like to see come back? I've got a funny feeling it could be Rally New Zealand, but I might be being cynical with that one, Gary.
We'd love to have WRC back down here. Something the listeners need to appreciate, in New Zealand, the New Zealand Rally Championship round organisers are still running 2 events every year. The infrastructure, the team, those key staff, those key volunteers are still active in the sport, and we don't need to rebuild a team to run WRC again. The team's still intact, and we have got the best high-speed cambered roads in the world. We hear it time and time and time again from the drivers. Ask them what rallies do they really love. New Zealand is always at the top of the list, or very near the top of their list. So 2016, world, come on down. We'd love to host you.
Obviously, there is this thing, obviously, the way, I think, has Australia got it for another 2 years, is it, before possibilities of looking back, going back to New Zealand?
If we go back from 2008 through 2012, there was this alternate year thing going on between Australia and New Zealand. The Australians came out and said they found it really hard to keep their sponsors for alternate years. So it was accepted that Australia would take a 3-year stint, and then New Zealand would get a 3-year stint. 2015 coming up is the end of Australia's 3-year stint. New Zealand is scheduled to be back on the program 2016, 2017, 2018.
Okay, well, a couple of tweets that came in, obviously You're the one that mentioned Rally New Zealand, quite rightly. Safari Rally, which I mentioned before, Colin McMaster, who has been a guest of ours, who takes these amazing photographs. Let's be honest, they are truly spectacular, every image he seems to take. He went along with the masses with regard to Safari, and obviously we've got a strong links with Stateside with the Olympus Rally, which I genuinely haven't had a chance to have a look, because I was going to have a bit of a Google before we came on air, but obviously with all the traffic and stuff, I lost all my research time this morning, or rather this afternoon, and just looking at, I don't know when the Olympus Rally ran, and I don't know whether we're thinking along the perfect, you know, I can understand if WRC, for instance, going to Safari because of the iconic, I can understand New Zealand because of the car market, and I think that's possibly where the States side would possibly suffer a little bit, because they don't have, you know, they don't have Citroen DS3s and things like that. I don't know, you know, I suppose in a perfect world we go to every country and everything else, but I think the States will always suffer because they don't have a great deal of these shapes and sizes of vehicles that we tend to rally.
But it's not about what they're racing locally. It is about what the World Rally Champs brings to that venue. And let's think about WRC. The first word is world. To my mind, it's really, really important that that current balance of 10 European, Scandinavian events and 3 truly international events, it feels just too heavy European. I was really excited a number of years ago when we were seeing about 50% of the events change from one season to the next. We had lots of world in terms of WRC was travelling around the world. One of the most disappointing things this year for me was when the 2015 calendar was announced. And you know what? Big yawn, it was identical to the 2014 calendar. I'd love to see not huge changes from year to year, but maybe 2 or 3 events changing each year. So we've got some ongoing variety.
I think from certainly from the European events point of view, yeah, I can see that working. Putting my other hat on here in some of the other things I'm involved with, I'm involved in the logistical side of WRC, so I have to sit down and plan calendars for people and everything else. So I must admit, it does make life a lot more straightforward when you are revisiting places. There's nothing worse than trying to go to an event that hasn't ran for a long time or has never ran before. Trust me. Listen, I don't want to get too bogged down into this one, but we've got a couple of people who've tweeted away. I don't know whether you're familiar with, we had Irish Corner on the Wales Rally GB this year, which was,
oh, that looked fantastic.
Well, I gave them a little beep. Bless them. To be fair, I could pretty much hear what they were all saying. I went past that slowly, but the guys were there waving away, and one of the guys, Niall Burns, has tweeted in as well. He said, "Never mind Irish Corner, we want Irish WRC." Bless you. So, which is a lovely thought. Obviously, they've got around the ERC going there. So, so I'm just squeezing through some of these. Everybody seems to be debating the whys and wherefores of having Safari or a few other bits and pieces, but look at that as well. David Kelly, bless him. I keep mentioning him because you've set the question, which is probably, you know, being our most popular question. Maybe we should have you more, or David setting the questions, to be honest with you. But he's been playing Dirt 2 tonight, getting into the mood. Let's just have a little look at this. Just squeezing through. There's nobody new who's come out and said anywhere new. We've got New Zealand, Safari and the Olympus, so in theory we could possibly have all those. We could have all those quite straightforward, couldn't we?
But no one's mentioning the BRIC countries, the Brazil, the Russia, China, India, those huge car markets that we do hear from the manufacturers I'd like to see one day. The most important thing the other day, as people do remind us, we have to have events that can run the quality standards and reliability of the event organisers to see WRC venture into those new markets as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A couple of things that have also come in. Mike Shaw, Oregon Wings, at Oregon Wings, as ever, very, very low listener. I think Loeb is most likely only to do tarmac events, except maybe Argentina, so Rogue's position wouldn't be a problem. So anyway, listen, I just wanted to
think on Loeb. Have a look at the World Touring Car calendar. There's about a 9-week gap mid of their season. 5 weeks into that is WRC Germany.
Didn't you send us that the other week? Who was it who sent us that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was you that sent it in, wasn't it? You'd done the numbers.
Yeah, you know. If somebody wants to put money on Loeb doing a second event, WRC Germany, and it could be a third year in a row that VW cannot win their home event. Wouldn't that be something?
I do think he's going to be out more. I do believe it's possibly, I do believe there's an element of sponsors, probably, you know, Abu Dhabi, as I said before, probably wanting a little bit more for the dollar, a little bit more profile-wise. I don't know. But, hey, listen, we're talking about, obviously, countries to visit and everything else. The Toyota story has rumbled back to life again this week.
Overnight. And they're saying Toyota have been at the meetings around the 2017 regulations. This is the most positive, most definitive news that we've had yet, because it's actually coming from inside Toyota. Are telling us, not other people spreading rumours.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Well, obviously, I think you would tend to think, thinking back to the heyday of obviously the Japanese manufacturers, the Mitsubishis, the Subarus, the Toyota, obviously Rally Japan became very much a big part of the calendar. And I think obviously it was dictated to by the manufacturers who were in those meetings. So, you know, maybe Toyota coming back will suck Japan possibly back into the calendar in the future.
Yeah. 99 was the last time Toyota was here. Tony, can I take a little bit of a lead here for a moment?
Yeah,
I'd like to reflect from a fan's point of view of what we've seen over the last year. And I'm not going to talk about what happened on rallies. I'm going to talk about the information and the excitement and the buzz of WRC from a fan's perspective. I want to reflect back. 2010, we only had Ford and Citroën in the championship. Ford with two Finnish drivers, Citroën, two French drivers. And that was it. Where was the world in that season? Let's jump ahead to 2014. And we've got the variety of new drivers here. We've got young blood coming through, but most importantly, coming from so many more nationalities. Then let's look at the level of coverage. This year, we're seeing the introduction on WRC.com of the service park cams. We can see the team servicing between stages. Great footage there. Those service cams, that live stream, has been carrying interviews with drivers and team bosses between the stages, adding to the content we get through the likes of the WRC live radio show. Then, mid-season, we had the WRC Plus launch. Now, I understand it's frustrating for some of your listeners have not been able to get it, but we've had WRC Plus providing tracking maps for the first time. We've had live televised stages picked up by more television stations around the world than recent years, and those live stages, for those of us not in countries getting it on TV, we've been able to watch it live on WRC Plus. 2 years ago, I was scrambling around looking for WRC content. Where could I find it? 2014, with this new stuff going on, there's almost too much content there to keep up with. Now I've got enough hours in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. It has moved on, you know, dramatically. It was quite funny because I was up at M Sport not so long ago, and I was looking at the photographs of obviously when they won the manufacturer's crown and stuff like that, and it was a big thing. You looked at, you know, Marcus's record in the latter years there, and it was just, you know, we know why he didn't win a world championship back then, and because of obviously Sebastian Loeb. And sometimes you feel that maybe that the fact that there was so, you know, Loeb was so dominant, and you know, Marcus obviously was also dominated when Loeb didn't, whether that actually put people off actually coming into the sport at the time. You know, there's a lot to be said, you know, for marketing and things like that, and TV and all these other things. But as you've just correctly pointed out, I don't know whether, you know, certainly internet content now, I think Twitter and obviously, you know, the live radio streams and everything else obviously has come on. I don't know what it's like for you guys over there, but TV hasn't really changed massively for us in the UK.
Okay, we're very fortunate. We have the daily highlights package on our Sky TV, a pay-to-view channel. We get the 1 hour weekly highlights a week after the rally has happened on free-to-air TV. So we are very fortunate that we get good coverage down here in New Zealand.
Yeah, you know what? I think what's starting to happen is it almost feels like there's been a revolution, and it's been a revolution by rally fans who've kind of took control of it and went right. You could almost argue like what we're doing here. We're doing a live radio program, which is okay. We do talk about other aspects of the sport, but WRC is the pinnacle of the sport, and we've kind of took control of it ourselves, and kind of that's what we've done. We've created content from all the bits of information that we can glean.
But let's look at two teams in particular that have added hugely. Volkswagen, they have their official stream, and they've got the VW Rally the World stream. They're putting so much fan-based content out into social media. And also Hyundai coming into the picture this year. They've been doing some great stuff in terms of their pre-event daily releases on top of what Citroën and Ford have always done, plus the new promoters. They're just lifting the things another notch, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more to come in 2015.
I think what's really important is that you have to remember the likes of Citroën and Ford / M Sport stayed, and if they wouldn't have stayed, I really, really would have massive concerns of where the WRC would have ended up. So they have to be applauded for sticking with it.
Yeah. I just see a tweet come through from another mate of mine here in New Zealand, Dan, saying WRC Plus social media have paved the way for better content because TV and rally will always be difficult. And there's a point there, Dan, but we do need the mix of traditional media for the not so fanatical spectators, fans of the sport. And then the social media, the internet-based streaming is great for the real hardcore fans out there. We need the mix of both.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, Gary, I feel we could do a programme together all night, but believe it or not, we're nearly halfway through our allotted time on Total Rally tonight. So this is the point where we are going to have to probably have a part of the ways. But if I could have one moment that would sum up 2014 WRC season for you, what would it be?
The visual images of Thierry Neuville pouring Corona beer into the radiator of a Hyundai at Rally Mexico, and Colin Clark extending the live radio broadcast. We just didn't know if that car was going to get back to the service park and the podium for Hyundai's first podium. That was the iconic image of the year for me that I'll remember forever.
Fantastic, and I seem to remember some images. I think Clarkie tweeted a couple of those images. As you say, great images. But Gary, we will have you back. I almost feel like I've got a Colin Clark, but with a funny accent, and that's saying something because Clarkie's got a funny accent himself.
Cheers. Thanks, Tony. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to all the listeners out there. We'll catch up in 2015.
Gary, thanks so much for the support. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for joining us tonight on Total Rally.
Thanks for the opportunity, Tony. Ciao.
Take care.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
Alex Karani, welcome to Total Rally.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. Thanks so much for joining us. I've been wanting to get hold of you for a little while, to be perfectly honest with you.
Because that's great.
I think you're actually one of the most interesting co-drivers that are currently out, certainly in the European Rally Championship. I've done a little bit of research, and obviously I also know we've got some mutual friends as well, and you're also sitting with one of my former teammates this year, Alex Papotas. So I wanted to find out a little bit about you. I'll be honest, I was really paranoid about how to pronounce your surname, by the way.
It's Kihurani.
Kihurani,
but the spelling is a little tough. Yeah, Kihurani.
Kihurani. Now that is that's your father's from Kenya.
Yep. So his surname is Kenyan.
So it's a Kenyan name, and your dad was a big fan of rally back in Kenya, and he was funny enough, we've just been talking about it as an iconic event. He used to go and watch the safari event.
Yeah, he used to try. He was one of 12 kids, but whenever he could, he'd get a brother-in-law or his dad or somebody to drag him out to wherever the rally was closest by and go watch. I think he pushed Sandro Minari out of a ditch with his Lancia Stratus sometime back in the early 70s before he moved to the U.S. So he's always a big rally fan, but always never had the money to do it himself, unfortunately, until maybe very, very recently.
So just looking at, obviously, done a bit of research, spoke to a couple of mutual friends and stuff like that. So you went to watch your first rally over in the States at 6 years old. You did a road rally at the age of 12. Now, tell me what a TSD is, by the way.
TSD is same thing as road rally. So time, speed, distance. So a road rally without gimmicks, a rally that's just based on being, you know, not early, not late.
Okay, and then from the age of 12, you were also going on events, traveling with teams. I read a story about you being dropped off at a shopping centre and teams picking you up. Were your parents trying to tell you something, Alex? Were they trying to get rid of you?
they were very paranoid at first. I think when I was 12, I was trying to get them to let me go with one of the teams, and they're like, no, Alex, you're too young, you can't go, you'll get lost, like, you'll get in the way, all these things. But I really wanted to go to more rallies, but I think from 12 to 13 I was like determined that I would get to go to one of the other events, and one of the other rally competitors when I was 13, she's a female co-driver and she had a daughter my age, and they're driving across from Seattle, Washington on the west coast to Maine, and they literally picked me up along the way, so I made sure that my parents had met them at the previous rally and everything like that, so they're okay with it. And then of course, once I got there, I went and hitched a ride with a bunch of the photographers and went spectating in the woods and went wandering off on my own. So I think after that, they kind of gave up a little bit. just let me go off, as long as they had met the people before. And then, you know, I had kind of the rest of the rally community, I guess, looking out for me a little bit. Fortunately.
I think what strikes me, and the reason why I wanted to make some of these points kind of leading up to it, because it's very easy for us, especially in the UK and Europe and stuff like that, you know, my story was very similar. I got taken to what you know is Rally GB now at the age of 8, and that was me. I fell in love with it, and now it's, you know, I'm involved in every aspect of it. But we don't imagine that happening in the States. And the first thing that kind of struck me when I was kind of doing a bit of research on you is that you've kind of earned your stripes already. You know, you were going out, you were getting involved. It's not like you just jumped in a car. You've earned your stripes.
Mm-hmm. I think in the U.S., unfortunately, it's just not quite as accessible. So if you want to get involved, if you want to do it, you have to really, 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 really want to do it, and you have to go to pretty far extents just to be able to get close to it. So for me, I mean, when I was young, it wasn't really a question. It was just what I was passionate about, and that's what I wanted to do, and fortunately I can still do it and come over here and do it at a higher level.
Yeah, as I say, you know, there's an obvious pun here. You've had phenomenal drive to get to where you are at the moment. Again, you know, looking at some of the things that you've achieved in a very short period of time, obviously, you know, X Games, you were a bronze medal at X Games. You did around the Junior World Rally Championship with Chris Duplessis, which was massively part of a film which I bigged up massively, and I had Matt on, the man behind it, Easier Said Than Done, which you... I noticed on Facebook you went to collect an award at the London Film Awards for that one.
Yeah, that kind of that came out of nowhere. Matt just had put a Facebook post up saying that it was one of the, he had entered it in the London Film Festival, and it was one of the finalists. He was like, you know, if you're in London, check it out. And I was in London that day, so, you know, it's not too far for me from where I live to get to Clapham, where the film festival was. So headed down there, didn't really know too many people, didn't know much to expect, but everyone was really friendly and enthusiastic about it, and it won Best Documentary, and then it was the judges' pick for the Film Festival, so I think they call it the Grand Prix Award. So that was pretty amazing. I never realized, I never knew how far the film reached. Like, I didn't know if it really made too much of a impression over here in the UK and in Europe, but it was really cool to see them get excited about it as well.
What I struggle to pigeonhole, and I even said this to Matt Johnson, isn't it, who was the man behind it. I even said this to Matt when we had him on. Is that I tried to describe it because I'd bought it, and I think I was probably one of the first people over certainly in the UK, from what Matt said, to probably get it, and then I'd watched it straight away. And I struggled to pigeonhole it because it was like a I know obviously the obvious thing here, it was in the Film Awards, but it was like a documentary shot like a film. And it
looks like a movie.
Yeah, and I watched it with my girlfriend, and she, don't get me wrong, she loves the motorsport and everything else, but it was you know, not very often you say this when you're in the same room as your girlfriend, but it was over in seconds, it felt like. I'm sure she said that before, it felt like, you know, it was on for an hour and a half, and it felt like, you know, felt like a 25 minute half hour documentary. And I was a little bit sad when I finished, to be perfectly honest, because I'd really bought into it.
It's great to hear. Maybe I'll convince Matt to do a more extended cut.
Did you?
Because I know there's so many things in there that he wanted to put in, and he's just like, he wanted to keep it to 75 minutes. He wanted to keep it fairly accessible. So that's just how it ended up being.
What again, obviously you ended up inadvertently, I don't know how much you were going to be aware of that, because I wanted to talk to you about when you went to do Rally Finland with Chris Duplessis, who obviously that's a big part of it. Now there was you know, obviously a lot of local fans had kind of contributed to you guys going over to Finland and everything else, and you know, I find it daunting. You know, I've done Rally GB the last 2 years, and you know, it's on my doorstep. I can go home every night on Rally GB. That's how close it is to where I live, and I still find it quite daunting. So to fly to another country, go to an iconic event, you know, and we always use that term, and Finland is, you know, Finland, it's just a no-brainer to call it an iconic event. But I just want to know what you know, you get there, you've got the excitement, you've got the funding, you get off the plane, you go and sign on for Recce. When does it hit you that this is a whole different world?
So, I mean, I think... It just with getting to the event and the fundraising effort and everything like that, it already started feeling like a whole different world from then. I'm trying to think. As soon as I got there, I'll explain when I realized it was a whole different world. I was walking in. So we got off the plane. We're driving to Jyväskylä, and we're trying to make our little WRC Academy training session. And where we go into the registration area, which is, you know, very nice. I think the civic center there is like absolutely large and beautiful. Not something you'd really get in a U.S. rally. And we're trying to look for the auditorium to go into. And I hear a voice that sounds very familiar. And I was like, wait a second. Like, wait, that's Phil Short. And he's already talking, and he's the one that, coordinates the WRC Academy program. I just hadn't made the connection in my head right away, but it's the voice, of course, from Tommy Mäkinen, winning all the World Rally Championships with Mitsubishi, and the voice I grew up with in all the interviews and rally videos and everything like that I'd watched for so long and never realized that was a part of my life now. So that's when I think it really, really hit me that I'm actually getting to be a bit of a part of this now.
So fast forward on, we're a couple of years further on now, ironically still in a Fiesta R2 this year, although from some of the things I've heard that could be changing. You're now in the European Rally Championship. You're with, as I say, with Alex Papotos, who's a great, well, he's, I still call him a kid because I've known him since he was a junior in junior rallying, but he probably beat me up for saying that, but he's a cracking lad. I've known him for a long, long time, and it's nice to see him getting on. How did that come about? How did you and Alex end up together?
It was quite random. I moved over here, was it the 1st of October, and maybe 2 days later, I got a call from Jamie Edwards saying he wasn't going to be able to make the last round of the British Rally Championship and wanted to ask if I was interested in sitting with Alex. And I was a bit familiar just from watching the BRC stuff with Alex. I knew he was one of the quicker guys and a legit competitor. So I was quite surprised that happened right away. And it was a bit tough since I was also starting work like the next week. So the Sunseeker rally was maybe 2.5 weeks after I was supposed to, less than 2 weeks after I was starting my job in the UK. So I was a bit nervous about taking time off that early, but I really didn't want to turn down the opportunity. So anyway, Jamie told me that, he just had his kid, and he knew that Alex was looking to get a bit more serious and start doing a bit more rallying, do rallying a bit more seriously. And he wasn't quite trying to make that kind of commitment with his family ties. So he's like, see how you guys get on at this rally. And if you guys get on well, then, I'll just transition the ride over to you. And with Alex, he actually got on really, really well, first stage at Rally Sunseeker. We didn't have the chance to do shakedown or anything, but we were able to swap onboard videos and stuff from different co-drivers and figure out an approach that would work. And it was quite easy getting on from the get-go. And since then, I've only co-driven for Alex since I've moved here. I haven't co-driven for anyone else in over a year, which is a bit odd for me. I'd always be hopping around between different drivers in the past.
So obviously you're settled now. From what I understand, I don't know whether it's I don't think it's an exclusive. I assume you guys are back in the European Championship Juniors next year.
Yeah, that's the plan. So going a bit more of a serious effort. I think I could say. We're going to be trying to run in a Peugeot 208. So that's definitely the car to have, and then repeat as many events that we did last year and leverage all the onboard footage and the pace notes that we worked so hard on this year, and hopefully we can get things right next year.
Fantastic. Listen, we will have you back next year. I just wanted to get you on firstly to say hello. Obviously the bear had spoken, Jamie, so I thought it'd be a good idea to get you on and have a little bit of a chat. Pass my best on to Mr. Popotis. I do miss him and his cheeky grin, and I also miss the sweets, obviously.
Let him know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, well done again for the collecting the award for Matt as well. Pass on our best to Matt, and hopefully we'll talk to Matt another time soon, and wishing you a great Christmas, and as I say, well, I'm sure we'll have you back before the season starts.
Thanks, I really, really appreciate it, and that's a good reminder. I probably should get Matt at least one of his trophies.
Yeah, you probably should send it out to him. Don't be keeping them on him.
Yeah, they're sitting at my home now, but he'll get them eventually after.
Fantastic. Listen, Alex, have a great Christmas, and we'll catch you up in a new year.
Yep, same to you. Thank you very much.
Take care, Alex.
Chat to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Total Rally is back every other Wednesday in association with Team Coordinate. Still your only place to hear rumours and news from the world of rally, the World Rally Championship, European Championship, and all major competitions from around the globe. We bring you the big names from the world of rallying. Find us in our new home of Fab Radio International, wherever you are. If you like rally, get involved. Email at totalrallystudio.com, Twitter at Total Rally, or facebook.com/Total Rally. Total Rally, exclusive to Fab Radio International.
Welcome back to Total Rally, and now with the American link working very, very nicely, we're joined by 6 times American champion David Higgins. Welcome to Total Rally.
Good evening. How is everyone?
I think we're all right. We had a bit of mither getting into Manchester, into the studio, which is somewhat robbed me of about an hour and a half's worth of research. But fortunately with you, David, I know quite a bit about you. And I don't mean that in a stalky way, by the way, but it's made my life a lot easier having you on tonight. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. It's great to be here.
Fantastic. Listen, it's been six times champion anywhere is phenomenal, and firstly from all the Total Rally, congratulations for another championship win this year. It seems a very obvious question: how different has it been from the previous five?
Yeah, every year always throws different challenges. Like, you go back to the very, very first one, I was a privateer against 4 factory teams, really the big underdog, but we won it by being smart. The second year I then went back there with Mitsubishi as a full factory driver for the first time and won every round bar one. And then obviously had the big gap, and in the previous years, like this year's championship, went very, very smoothly. We had one DNF on the second event, and we had an engine problem. But other than that, we won every round. So it didn't look like it was a mega difficult series for us. But, you know, every event threw us different challenges. One round, we got given like 3 minutes worth of penalties because of hitting some cones in a chicane, and, you know, we had to fight back from that. Another rally, we hit a big rock that was out in the road and ripped the back suspension apart and lost the lead and threw it back. So, you know, on paper, it looks like it was very, very easy, but it certainly wasn't. But in saying that, the championship we won in 2013 when we were against Ken Block, which was went down to the last round with a winner takes all. I don't think many things will really beat that feeling of winning in 2013 when you really throw everything at it. And, you know, it was a point where we were pushing it through until one of us crashed, and thankfully it wasn't me. So this year seemed a bit calmer. The year before was absolutely like unreal. So they're all different, but they all have their different memories and different things. But, you know, you're only a champion for a very, very small period of time, and it won't be once we're back out there again to try and defend it again.
I think it's you know, I mean this with the greatest respect, you're a man that's grown for quite a few teams, quite a few manufacturers as well, both, you know, at the forefront and also from a testing point of view. But you seem quite settled there now. Craig's been with you for Craig, former teammate of mine way back when, you know, Craig's been with you for a couple of years now. That seems to be quite settled, and the team, you know, Vermont Sports Car with Subaru, all seems to be quite settled, and it just seems to be, it's almost like, dare I say, it's almost kind of moulded around you.
Yeah, no, it's good. The team that I'm actually with now, Vermont Sports Car, they were the team that ran me in 2003 when I was with the Mitsubishi, and we won the championship, but unfortunately the championship sort of went downhill, and, you know, there was a fatal accident with Mark Lovell and Roger, and the sort of championship struggled and all the manufacturers pulled out, and I kept in contact with them, but it wasn't really like, I was never sort of pestering saying, oh, you know, I want to come back. I was busy out in Asia just taking over the Welsh school, then I get the phone call from Lance, just the boss asking to go back. And, you know, I loved the team back in 2003, and now, like I say, this one real big sort of unit that works well together. I do a lot of testing for Rallycross. They understand me, I understand them, and we work really, really well together. And to be honest, I don't really ever see myself driving for anyone else other than them now, because, you know, it's way more than just a driving role. I enjoy sort of being involved in the development of the cars. So we've got a new car on the way now, and, you know, they put an awful lot of trust in me to do what I do, and I put a lot back in them. So, you know, it's great to be able to be with a team that you really see everything built from the, you know, the very, very first platform of the cell to the engines and everything. And there's not many teams around that do everything all in-house, all themselves now.
We had one of your former BRC protagonists on the week before, actually, Martin Rose, obviously now over in Canada, and he got the call to come back to rallying. Almost, he kind of took a step back with his business and, you know, married and kids and stuff like that, and opened up the B&B. And with the sad news of what happened with Pat Richard, he got the call from the guys at Subaru Canada, and it's almost kind of whetted his appetite all over again, and he wants to come back. And, you know, he was saying about the Subaru out there, because I said, you know, the Group M version of the car I've seen, and it looks a big old bus. The kind of, I think they call it the sedan model. Is that the model that you guys are looking to go to?
Yeah, we're going to the same shape of car that obviously that Martin was using this year, and it is a little bit bigger, but it's not like, when you look at the dimensions of it, when our car is built, the wheel base and everything will be exactly the same, but there's a fraction more overhang at the rear end. But because the way the wheels allow us to modify so heavily, the actual, you know, the weight distribution will be no worse than what we were before. In fact, if anything, it'll be a little bit better. And obviously, we've also got the situation now where, you know, we lift the floors, we tour up them. Now, they're so far away from a Group N or even the old sort of WRC cars, the freedom of what they can do with the chassis is that, I don't think the size will be a major problem in 90% of the stages, because the American loads are very, very fast, and, you know, the car being that little bit bigger, it's also going to be a wider track car again than what we've done this year. And, you know, our car is a lot different to the one that the Martin's been using. So I don't think it'll be a problem, and I'm really hoping it will be a be another step forward like I've had this time, but the only time where the car will struggle a little bit would be on the very, very twisty stage, which thankfully there isn't that many of in America.
Is it, I know from, obviously Martin was saying that, you know, the pickup points and everything get changed on the car as well, which is just kind of what you've just been saying there, everything it is changed. You mentioned obviously going down to the last event, going up against Ken Block in 2013. Do you crave that kind of, you know, Ken to come back and maybe Travis to come back, you know, a bit more full time again and things like, do you really want to kind of give it to them, so to speak?
Yes, I the worst possibility to be in as a driver is to be too comfortable, because that's when you make mistakes, that's when things go wrong. And, you know, I push myself, I play myself and Craig probably worked a lot harder this season than we've just done than we even did before, because, you know, we learned from things the year before of where we, you know, we let a few rallies slip away where we thought, okay, we're not going to win this, we'll just be consistent and pick up the points. And then you find yourself in a bit of a battle where this year we went out just really to win every event and worked way harder at the pace notes and took another step forward in our own sort of development. So you need that competition to drive you on. And, you know, it's easy for people to think, oh yeah, you've won the championship 4 years in a row and you've got no competition. And the reality is that we've beat every person that you've ever come against over there. And the only way we can really get even more credit is to have race against more people. So, you know, there's rumours of Volkswagen maybe showing interest in going over there or something. So the more manufacturers and more cars and more drivers that can go there, the better. You know, I don't go there because I just want to try and win. I go there to try and better myself as a driver, to develop the car further as a team. And, you know, the bigger and the harder competition, the way more enjoyable it is when you can come out on top.
You mentioned notes there. That's something, you're a man who's probably wrote your own notes pretty much from day one, because, you know, it, just the way things were and the way your career was, is that you were doing kind of international rallies, writing notes probably from a very, very early age. And how does that, and I've asked you this previously when I spoke to you a few years ago, actually, the Gemba system, how does that kind of work for somebody that probably is so precise with their own notes?
Good question. When I first started in America in 2011 again, it was where I was there in 2001, so 2002, 2003, Gemba's notes were coming in. There was no record. You'd given the organisers notes, and the Gemba's notes were actually very good in comparison to your normal sort of stage route notes. And we learned how to work and everything else. Everything was great. Then when I came back into DRC in 2004, I really struggled to trust my own notes again, because I'd got comfortable using Gemba. And obviously over all those years, between not being American coming back, when we came back, the first sort of year, maybe year and a half of being in America was a bit of a struggle for me and Craig. It was a new relationship with us together. We tried the Gemba notes for the very first rally and realised that it wasn't possible to use, and I was changing way more on them than I should be on the stage. I really couldn't get come to a feel for them. So we sort of made the decision that we only get a single pass recce, but I'll just write my own notes with just one pass. It's quite risky, but at the same time, we knew if we put that work in the early year, that the second year we go back to those events, we'll have a way better sort of platform to work on. So, you know, our speeds got way better because now that we've gone back to stages we've done before, we don't have a disadvantage on the single pass recce. And I just make my own notes now from scratch. And even if we've got new stages, I make my own. And, you know, it's taught me to make a very good sort of note system. And to be, but it does mean a lot of work with the whole world into our videos and watching lucky videos and all the things that we hate doing. But it's the way the sport's changed. And before, probably every rally now, I'll probably spend a minimum of sort of 6 to 10 passes of every stage that I've got from previous years, watching on the video, then meeting with Craig and going through them in the notes again. So when we get there, we're the best prepared we can be, really. So the Gemba's now, for me, I don't even open the book and have a look at them, just completely just get on with our own and start from scratch and trust our own abilities to do a good job of it.
Fair play. You mentioned the rally school there. I read a report that the rally school was for sale. Is that still the case? Are you looking possibly at moving it on now?
Yeah, it's not something that we're sort of out there pushing, trying to sell. It is for sale if the right thing came about. And, you know, for a few reasons, really. Like, my parents still own the property side of it, and where the bed and breakfast was and where we all meet for the courses. And at one point we were renting that out, and it was being, they were still running it as a B&B, and it was great. And then those people moved on, and the sort of house is costing them money to be there rent, because we don't live at that part of the house as well. But the steel part's doing really, really good. And you know, when I'm away, it's quite difficult. It's hard on myself and Carl and my wife, because obviously she's running up all when I'm away, and then I come back from an event and you're trying to catch it with everything. It's a bit of a sort of mad rush to get things all sorted again, and then I disappear away again. So it's hard work doing that and what I'm doing in the States. So the right opportunity came to go, and it was the right people to do it and carry on running it. Then yeah, it's open to a new owner. But in saying that, because I've now been home for 5-6 weeks now, it's the longest I've been home for probably 3 years now. You can really start to get back on top of things again, and it does make life a little bit easier again. So it's not something we're in a massive rush to do, but if it came along, then for sure we would do it. And you know, there's lots of opportunities for me in America for doing driver tuition and driver training. The people that at the moment I just don't have the time to do, between my commitments with the Subaru team, with not just the events, but there's an awful lot of PR events and Subaru dealerships to go to, and different things that do keep us pretty busy during the year.
Fantastic. Listen, I've got a couple of questions before. I really appreciate your time, by the way. We always have kind of listener questions and stuff like that. And the question was, one iconic event. Obviously, there's thoughts that possibly Rally France may return to Corsica, which kind of prompted the question, which event would you like to see come back? Out of all the events you've either watched or you've been and done yourself, which event would you like to see come back?
100% I'll say New Zealand, to be honest. I think it's, you know, some of the great rally battles, and especially for a British sports person, you know, with Colin getting his first wins there, Burnsy being there, and the fact that, you know, I remember those days when you sort of try and stay up all night to watch what little information you get back in the day, and then you sort of put the old CFACs on in the morning and see that the boys have won and done well there.
David, you're showing your age with CFAX.
I know. I can't remember the number of it, never mind. But I think my father-in-law still looks to try and check on that information, so there's nothing on TV and that, you know, he's still looking on CFAX, bless him. But, you know, it's a brilliant rally. The way the road conditions are, with the road sweeping and things, they throw up some surprises in the early days. And, you know, the biggest thing that rally needs, in my opinion, is not the same stage, the same event, the same format all the time. I need to get back to what it was, and a bit of the old sort of night driving, different things, different road conditions, and mix up a little bit, so it's not just the same old results time and time again. And you look back to New Zealand a few years ago, where Hyundai were leading it when they weren't super competitive, but their road position that they had in that time really made it a big, big battle for the top guys to come forward again. And you know, that's what the sport sort of needs, is a little bit more excitement, a few more manufacturers winning it. And you know, New Zealand was always a driver's favourite, the fans loved it, and what, yeah, a bad place to go and spend some time.
Absolutely. Last question. I think I kind of probably going to have I've got a rough idea of the answer. One rally, one car out of everything you've done, pick it.
I'd probably say the last rally of the season last year on Lake Superior, when it was absolutely balls to the wall, all or nothing, and you know, one of the cars was going to come back and was going to drive into a trailer, and one was not, and I think that would be one that will sort of last with us for a long time.
Fantastic. Listen, David, I really, really do appreciate you joining us. Again, you're somebody else I could probably talk to all night. Loving your work. Congratulations again on your championship, and hopefully we'll be talking to you this time next year with a 7 in the bag.
Thank you very much. Look forward to talking to you anytime.
All right, David. Thanks so much. Take
care.
Guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. And that was David Higgins, and that took us somewhere close towards the end of the show. If you have joined us, thank you so much. The Twitter page has gone absolutely manic for some reason. Not for some reason at all. Obviously, our man Gary, Kiwi WRC man, has been getting very, very busy with getting on the retweets and everything else, keeping me honest, trying to keep up with everything. But again, from being on my own, it's been a tough old day, but we've had some great guests, and unfortunately, this is kind of the last show before Christmas, so it's been lovely talking to you so far. we will be back sometime in January. We're gonna work on a couple of things and come back hopefully with a slightly tighter show and a few other bits and pieces. But by all means, keep tweeting us. We will be answering them. You can follow me at TonySimpson74. By all means, send me things and bits and pieces, and I will always have a chat with you. And I wish you all a fantastic Christmas, and I genuinely can't wait to rally Monte Carlo because I'm going to see it. Thank you so much. Good night, God bless, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.